Mike, we have an update from last episode.
What's the update?
The tree is gone.
Gone! Allison wins. You're getting a PS4, ready to start setting up your Twitch, but I'm glad the tree is gone. I'm glad Allison is in a much happier mood, and tell me the stump was removed as well.
The stump was not removed, but she has won the battle, but she has not won the war. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of
You Won't
with Frank and Mike. That's right, Mike. The tree has been removed from the property. It was cut down yesterday. It happened quick, man.
I can tell. It just escalated from the convo of just, you know, brief conversation. You got one quote. You wanted to follow up, maybe get another quote. And here we are. Not even a week later, the tree is gone. And now we just got to worry about that stump.
Yeah, I think the stump's here to stay. I don't think we're probably going to move. I'm looking out. You can see me looking out to my right now. Uh-huh. And that's where the tree was. It provided a ton of shade for these two rooms on this side of the house. But now it's kind of nice. We have a lot of sunlight coming through. And I noticed my backyard's got more sunlight. So there are definitely some positives to it. I think the grass is going to benefit, which is important. But I don't think a stump's going anywhere. I think that's probably going to here to stay. Too much money for that. I don't need that. But yeah, it escalated really quickly, man. Allison got a quote, and then she got one more quote. It was a little bit higher, and then one day I just said, "All right, just do it, get it over with, just cut it down." And she took full advantage of that. So
I like Allison's strategy, and I think you're gonna have a lot of positives come from it. Like you said, more natural sunlight, that's good for the mental health. Yeah. It's good to see the sun a little bit here and there. Something I wouldn't know a ton about, but I'm trying to work on a little bit getting outside of the house. I think you're gonna be able to set up maybe some beautiful gardens.
Yes.
You know, maybe grow some veggies with this extra sunlight you have. So the possibilities are endless. I think it was a great decision all around. I'm glad you got a quote that made sense. And welcome to the Stump Club, where we got some cute little stumps sitting out in our front yards.
So the big downside to all of this has to do with our little children, Catherine and Margaret. So the tree is on their side of the house, their room, where their room is. So their window literally looked right at the tree. Lately they've been learning a lot of animals, right? And what the animals say, or, you know, the sounds they make, right? So one of the animals that they recently learned about and realized the sound they made are monkeys, right? Mm. So monkeys, that's what they do. And it's really freaking cute. They also have a good imagination because they think there's monkeys in that tree. So every day they'd look out the window, monkeys, and then they go, shh. Because the monkeys are sleeping, apparently.
Right. Can't wake
up. Now there's no more monkeys in the tree The tree is gone. Yeah. So that's an issue. The current issue that I'm dealing with.
How can we position this from an imagination standpoint? Can we tell them they moved?
Well, yes, I tried that, but they're really not at the age where they're really understanding what that means. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a big deal. I think they're perplexed right now. They're like, what happened to the monkeys? You know, there's no more tree. There's no more monkeys. Right. Yeah.
So a monkey came and ate the tree. You know, who knows?
A monkey.
Just let their imagination run wild with it. You'll be shocked where they'll take you and what paths you'll go down.
Did you have any imaginary friends growing up? Speaking of,
I don't necessarily
have
one
now. Still,
yeah, a little bit. I mean, you know, it's more of just that inner monologue, and you know, there's nobody else there, but you're gonna have conversations with them. I have those all the time. I don't think I had an imaginary friend. I definitely had some stuffed animals that were alive. You know, I don't know if that counts as an imaginary friend, but
well, watch Toy Story enough, they are alive.
That's true. That is true. Woody's coming. God, I love that movie. But yeah, no, I don't think imagination friends, but what about you?
No, I didn't either. But that inner monologue, man, I think I have it. I don't know if I have it now more than ever.
Oh yeah.
He's awake in there. Or she, I don't know what it is in there. Yeah, it's something. Yeah.
We don't discriminate.
We do not discriminate on this podcast. No. He didn't tell me the gender, the pronouns that they use, but anyways, where's like the most, where's the space that you do the most inner talking to yourself?
Probably at work. For sure. Okay. Like on team meetings or something. So to make sure I don't say these things out loud to them. So I have the conversations internally. Like,
gotcha. Oh God, I thought you meant like you're just talking, like you're not paying attention. That'd be funny
too. No, that too as well. You know, usually I'm just like, well, this meeting's useless. So, you know, what are you up to today? Well, you know, I'm here with you. You know, what are we going to do later? I don't know. What do you want to do later? Maybe NHL, maybe a movie, you know, and you just run through the options of what we're going to do later when we get home. But no, I would probably say work is usually the most, or honestly during video games, we just catch up. Yeah.
You catch up. I say in the shower is where my mind goes.
So shower, like, I go through just wild scenarios in the shower.
Yes. Yeah. Agreed. Like, whether it's thinking about like quitting your job or something, you know, like everyone has that, like that idea, like if you don't like your job or whatever, right. Yeah. I'm sure we've all been there where you like, know how you want to quit your job, but like mm-hmm. it's never going to happen. Right. Like things you would say to your boss or to like, you know, whatever, a coworker, right. That you don't like, you never get there though. It never actually happens, but like you put yourself in the scenario. What would I say?
Right? Yeah, no, I film so many fantastic pilots that never get picked up by the networks. That's just the unfortunate circumstance of what happens, you know, but there are some great stories that take place in the shower that, you know, it's just, it's a fun time. Then you get out and you're like, here's reality.
Yeah,
here's that movie didn't get picked
up. Yeah, golf, I think about a lot, you know, like, I don't know whether it's like thinking about rounds that I've had, but also like the future rounds that I'm going to have.
Like you just envision score. That hole in one, or you envision that chip in, you envision that 328 yard drive pipe right down the middle. That's a piss missile. Yeah. And you're ready to walk up and hit your birdie, you know, put it right on. No, absolutely. You go through all of them, and I'm always playing either like Pebble Beach or, you know, I don't even know where I'm playing.
Oh, I'm not gorgeous. Wow, your imagination is crazy. I'm thinking like local course that I play every day.
That's reality. You don't waste the shower imagination on a reality municipality course.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just a little more grounded, I guess.
You got to dream bigger, Frank. We gotta get you dreaming a little bigger. Are you playing some golf today?
I sure am. I am.
You look ready to go for it. I'm jealous. Ready,
man. So, I think last week I played nine. I think we talked about this last time. I played nine. So I was trying to get out this week just to pick up another nine so I could record that full 18 score, you know, in my gin.
You call it a gin?
Gin. Yeah. What do you call it?
Gin.
No, it's gin.
Damn. You sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty positive.
I think that's why I always want to start drinking when I get to the course. Like, what's my gin, man? All right, we'll add a little transfusion gin-y. With that gin.
Yeah, I believe it's gin, but is it gif or jif?
It's a gif.
Yeah, I call it a gif.
No, I say gif, right? Yeah, send a gif.
Yeah, I don't know.
Send a gif. Send an animated gif. Yeah, I don't say jif. It's not peanut butter.
Yeah. Anyways, deep thoughts. Thoughts with Mike. So I'm playing this weekend as well. So I wanted to get, and you know, the tree's down, so I got some negotiation power here.
You do. So that's big. That's where those are always worth it. You know, I'm a big find that happy medium.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's gonna work out for you.
Well, yeah, it's funny you say that because even like with watching the girls and stuff, not that I take advantage of it, but like, you know, if Allison's really busy, I'm like, just go work, like trying to be the, you know, not that I'm not nice, and but I also, you know, you can play it out over.
Yeah, I can pull this hero card out of my back pocket maybe next week.
Exactly.
I'm going to save the day
all week. Let me go play golf. You know.
Yeah.
So that's. But Allison isn't here today, so we have a babysitter, and I'm going to play. I got 4 hours to go play, and I'm going to go do it. So. I'm pretty pumped.
So why are we only doing nine today? I feel like
I'm playing 18.
So I'm playing 18. There we go. There we go.
My plan this week was to try to get nine in, like, because I know I'm playing this weekend too, so I don't want to push the limits here. But Allison's not home and the babysitter's coming, so Allison doesn't give a shit if I'm playing, right? Like she's not watching the girls, someone else is. So,
and I'm sure she's in a great mood from getting spoiled over the weekend with her second Mother's Day. How was that?
Third Mother's Day, Mike.
The kids are two. Oh, yeah, but I guess you count the one when she's pregnant. Yep.
No. The kids are two, but they're on their third year of life here. So like
Yep. They were born in March.
March, exactly. So that was their first slasher.
My goodness, her third Mother's Day.
Yeah, so we had a good day. She, what did we do? We went to my parents' house in the afternoon, but in the morning we did exactly what she wanted. I went in, I was going to make breakfast, but she wanted a specific breakfast from somewhere. So I went out and got her breakfast.
I could see you making a mean batch of chocolate chip pancakes.
Dude, I'm actually a really good breakfast cook.
I can see that. Doesn't surprise me, actually. I could see you, sizzling the bacon, flipping some eggs, turning some pancakes. What
I'm really good at is like making, I'm really good at making a frittata.
Yeah, I just grab them out of the freezer and then stick them in the microwave for 42 seconds.
So what, do you make a frittata and then freeze it?
Or buy them pre-made, frozen from Costco. Yeah. They're fantastic.
Which is also delicious. I agree. But yeah, no, I'll make like a frittata. That's my specialty and Allison loves it. So that's a big win. So I was going to do that actually, but then she was like, we got a frittata sandwich. It's called the ciabatta frittata from this place down the road. And it's a sandwich. It's like a delicious sandwich on a nice, I think it's like a Portuguese roll or something. And it's got, it's like a frittata. It's nice and it's delicious. So we got that.
Portuguese can make some rolls.
They're very good at that. Yeah.
Yep.
And then we went for a nice hike. We did put the girls on in our backpacks, baby holders. I don't know what they're called, but you throw them on our back, took the dogs, and we went for like, it's really funny, Mike. It was a new hike we went on. Here in Richfield, we have so many trails around us, which is really cool because we can go hiking without getting in the car. We just walk up the road and jump in a trail. We went to a new trail that we've been wanting to try out. And we came across this bonfire, right? It wasn't currently going, but an old bonfire. And we realized that it's a party spot. It's a kid's party spot.
High schoolers, they're getting there a Friday night, bringing some Bud Lights.
Absolutely. So, and it looks
over. Some liquor from the parents' cabinet.
Absolutely. So it looks over in the distance, the high school is in the distance and there's a good lookout. So it's kind of cool. But we realized, cause I don't know about you in your high school days, but maybe not because I feel like where you lived probably didn't have this, being from Long Island, but we partied in the woods in high school.
Yeah. We had some woods, but we were pretty lucky. We had friends whose parents went away every weekend able to just go to just have house parties. We had that childhood. We went and partied in some fields. Little into the woods, but nothing crazy there. But now mostly house parties.
Well, you've seen where
Long Island brats.
Yeah, exactly. You see where I'm from, right? There's this wooded area, right? So we had places called The Rock, The Quarry.
Wow, you named them. I love it.
Yeah.
Heading tonight? The Rock?
Yeah, Rock. Let's go to The Rock. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Now I want to watch that movie with Nicolas Cage and Sean Connery. So good.
It is a good one. But we realized this used to be us. We used to be young and travel into the woods. And then
used to be young.
It's true, dude. That's what we used to do. And Allison, the funny thing is Allison and I used to do that together,
right?
In high school. So cute, right? So cute. But yeah, we were what it was to be freaking 17 and just getting trashed in the woods. That was the dream, man. That was the dream at the time.
Life was good. No priorities, no issues to worry about. It was, how far is this six pack gonna last me? Because all you needed was 4 or 5 beers at that age. And you're feeling great.
You're feeling great.
So it was cost effective 6 beers. And who am I gonna go awkwardly flirt with? You already had your lucky.
I was 17. We weren't really dating. I was flirting with some other girls. I was playing the field.
Look at you, Frankie. You player.
I have a question for you, and you don't have to reveal this if you don't want to. Mm-hmm. Where did you get booze from when you were I don't know, whenever you started drinking?
High school? Yeah, high school. No, it was so I had my brother's ID and his old fake ID, and we would just go to a gas station near my house that never really carded, or if they did, it was very easy. Just walked in, showed that, grabbed it, and good to go. So now having the older brother is very clutch. And then
how much older is your brother?
3 years older. So, but he had a fake ID. or gotcha. He chalked his. So once he actually then turned 21, he just gave me his chalked ID because it was like his learner's permit or whatever it was. And it worked well. It was never had
all you
an
have
issue.
To do is find that one place, right?
Right. That and it was a gas station, this yeah. jet stop or something like that. Like one of those weird ones, something.
Yeah, we had a liquor store in town that like I didn't have a fake ID. But somehow I still bought. And I think it's because like we went in there so often that like they just knew who we were. So yeah. they didn't card us. And I think like one person had a fake ID or something, or yeah, same thing, had an older brother's ID. So it was just like, you just needed one, which is so ridiculous. I feel like that wouldn't work these days.
Yeah. Oh my God. The first time I ever drank was actually at the good old Tommy.
Tommy.
It was just the two of us. And like some friends started drinking in high school. I mean, we were probably somewhere like going into junior year. So, I guess kind of early. I don't know. There were people that were before us though. And we found a bottle of Bacardi at his parents' house.
Oh, Bacardi was drinking it, dude. That was it's so funny. That was like the drink of choice in high school. Bacardi.
I can't drink Bacardi. I can't because that night obviously got absolutely shit housed. I threw up everywhere in his house. His poor sister. So Tommy calls her and she's like, "Hey, can you bring us home Wendy's? Like, we really want Wendy's." And she's about 4 years older than us. So she's like, "Okay, are you drunk?" And he's like, "No, we're not drunk. But don't go in the bathroom when you get home." Like, okay, thanks. And she is such a saint. I love her because she truly did treat me like a younger brother, because me and Tommy were very close growing up. She cleaned the whole bathroom for me while I was just passed the fuck out, a mess. And then we went out the next day on Tommy's boat with his dad.
Oh,
and his
no.
dad was like, "What is wrong with you guys?" And we're like, "We're just tired. I was going to throw up all day." It was brutal, but it is funny how you always remember like that first drinking experience, and it was brutal.
Yeah, there's such like distinct memories from high school, and I mean most of them have to do with alcohol and drinking, like go to stupid parties or whatever. That's hilarious though. I'm trying to think if I had like a throw up moment like that. I don't think so. Ugh. The worst though, I haven't thrown up in a long time. I feel like, Mike, you're pretty easily triggered with throwing up.
I'm not easily triggered, but it happens more frequent than I'd like to admit. I'll put it that way.
Well, I mean, there's also some, I like you eating certain things and whatnot, right?
Yeah. We're going to go with that. Usually it's the food consumption with the booze that
exactly.
Know,
well,
doesn't get along.
You seem to, I think you ease up on what you eat, right? When you drink, probably. Am I correct?
Sometimes when I'm feeling good, I'm like, "Yeah, this little mozzarella stick isn't going to do too much damage."
Exactly. And then it does a lot of damage. It's a lot of damage.
It's not good. And I'm like, "Was it worth it?" No. But in the moment, you're like, "Oh my God, melted cheese. This is a dream. A little bread on it. Ay, ay, ay."
Oh, it's great. Anyways, that just had me thinking when we were hiking. I was like, this is interesting. I'm glad people still do this. I'm glad kids still get out there and get after it on Friday and Saturday nights and do whatever you got to do to get it done. Right. Like you just post up in the woods, start a fire. Hopefully you don't burn the woods down, but yeah.
Right.
I've ever told you that story. Me burning the woods down.
What? No, you have not.
Yeah. We're going on such a side tangent here, but I know we didn't really have much of a plan for this episode, but this is a crazy side tangent. So when I was in eighth grade, okay. So we're going back. Me and one of my good buddies at the time, this kid AJ, who I grew up with and was like my best friend, we were in a little bit of a pyro stage of our lives, you know, just lighting shit on fire, blowing shit up, you know, being boys, you know, will be boys. Yeah.
Right.
So we were in the woods at his house and we started a fire in the woods, you know, naturally.
Naturally.
It simply got out of hand and we couldn't
spread like a wildfire.
It literally spread like wildfire and we couldn't put it out. And like, we were like probably like a quarter mile from his house. So we weren't exactly like all that close. We sprinted back to his house. I mean, we're so dumb. We grabbed like as many water bottles as we could. Like we're the dumbest human beings in the world.
I'll do it. Grab three Poland Springs. This will put out the wildfire. AJ.
We literally grabbed the 24 pack of like waters and we brought it with us in the woods. And by that time we got back, it was like way out of hand, you know? So we come running back to his house and his dad is a fireman actually. And we were like, we walk in the house and we're like, you know, just like scared looks on our face. We actually had no shirts on because we tried to use our shirts to like, you know, like, yeah. So we're just a fucking mess. And his dad looks at us, and my mom was there for some reason. I don't know why. So it was his dad and his mom and my mom. And his dad looks at us and goes, "What did you idiots do?" And we're just like, "We started a fire. We can't put it out." And he's like, "You fucking assholes." And like, he runs up there. He like smothers it good, but they had to call the fucking fire department.
Oh my God.
And the fire department showed up, put it out. And thank God his dad was a fireman, because not only did he like help, you know, put out the fire and not like not have it spread as much. They were like, "Do you know who did this?" You know, because like, I mean, that's a fucking, I don't know.
You're not allowed to do that, Frank. Yeah, you can't exactly. Go starting fires in the woods.
Yeah. So his dad's like, "I think I know who did it, and I'll take care of it." And he like was like, "I'm a fireman," and wherever he was a fireman. And they're like, "Okay," but we could have. I mean, dude, I've never been more scared in my life. Like, and we can. And I got home, and my dad was like, again, just like one of those moments where I was like, I did not want to face my dad. You know, I was like,
yeah.
And I threw all my clothes away because they all smell like fire. You know, I was grounded for like, you know, a couple months or whatever. But it was one of those moments. But the funny thing is, my dad did the same exact thing when he was a kid. So
the apple doesn't fall far exactly. From the tree.
So
and Mr. Fob, I can see that.
Yeah, yeah. So my dad has some good stories when he was a kid, because back in those days, like, I mean, you could do freaking anything, you know, like,
yeah.
One story he used to tell, and I'll tell this real quick. They lived next to a German family. And you know, this was like whatever in the, I guess the 60s. So like still people were very worried about like world wars and all, you know, all that stuff. Right. So they lived next to a German family, and the German family had a bunker at their house. So like an underground bunker, because they thought possibly, I don't know, they could get bombed or something. And my dad used to throw rocks at the woman who lived there. Like, she would be out like folding clothes or like hang clothes on the clothesline, and him and his friends would just chuck rocks at her because she was like a German lady and they were weird. Like, he did these things that were just evil. And like,
that is terrible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, that's what my dad did. So, and he was
you're making my neighborhood story sound like a freaking saint now. I think the only thing that almost got me in like a decent amount of trouble, but not even. So we had this house in the corner. They were kind of like the neighborhood landscapers. They had a gorgeous yard. They were very into their yard, pristine yard. They just put in this gorgeous, huge waterfall. Their kids and then me, like Alex, Joe, James, and all our group friends, we didn't really get along the best. So we'd play this game where you'd have to shoot free throws, and if you missed, you had to do a dare. So it was great because I was the oldest and you know, usually probably the most talented in basketball out of it. So I never had to do any of the dares. I would just tell them what to do. It was fantastic setup. So one night we get the idea. We're like, okay, they just put in this gorgeous new waterfall in the front yard. We're like, let's fill it with soap. So like
that's bubbles. Such a great idea.
So we're like, I'm like, okay, just put a little soap in it and let's just, you know, see a bubble. That'll be funny. So Joe is the one who misses. He has to go do it. He gets like a thing of soap from his garage. We ride our bikes over to their house, you know, hide in the side, and he runs over, pours it in, and we run away. We check on it like a couple minutes later. We don't really see anything. We're like, Joe, what the fuck? Did you put any of the soap in? Like, come on. We wanted to see bubbles, see something. And he was like, all right. He goes back. He pours in the whole tub.
Oh, my
God. He just dumps in the whole tub. We run away. We check it again. Now there's a foam.
Like just coming out
up the house. It is now all over the front yard. It went into all the gardens and all the flower beds.
Oh my God.
Ruins the lawn. Like, it ruined everything. And they went fucking ballistic. So once we went back and we saw this foam was halfway up the house, we're like, oh shit. Like,
you guys get caught?
So we didn't get caught, but they flipped out and they assumed and knew like who was doing it.
Yeah, the kids in the neighborhood. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So they call my mom and they're like, I think Michael did it. And my mom asked me, I was like, no way. Nope. Never. I had nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with it. And we kind of got away with it until like 2 years later, Joe admitted it to his mom, who I think he got a pretty bad beat down because she was a little bit of an aggressive mother. But that was like probably the only story I have where I almost got caught in trouble.
That's
I wasn't setting fires in the neighborhood.
Well, I mean, the fire thing was, I mean, that, yes, that's aggressive, but I'll tell you what, Mike, we weren't great kids. Like, we acted like good kids, and I was, you know, I knew how to play the game certainly with the parents and the neighbors, and everyone I think liked me, but I mean, every weekend we were, you know, we would go play manhunt, quote unquote, go play manhunt. You know, that's right. How I got out of the house.
Yeah.
And then we would go freaking, I don't know, we blow shit up. We would, like, you know, we played Ding Dong Ditch all the time. We would,
well, Ding Dong Ditch was like, that was a given.
Yeah, I mean, that's everybody a given, right?
That it was great. And now you, poor kids nowadays can't even do it with the goddamn ring.
Right.
These ring doorbells, I feel so bad they lost that experience. The Ding Dong Ditch, I mean, what a rush. Hitting that doorbell and finding a hiding spot and then just watching, you know, somebody come out. So again, another quick little story. I didn't know we were going to run down our childhood.
Yeah, me either,
this is fantastic. So freaking James. So his dad is Sylvester Stallone, like straight out of Rocky. That is his dad.
Okay.
My friend James, just the way he talks, the whole demeanor. Like you see him, he puts his hands up. Come on, punch. Give me a 1-2 combo. 1-2 combo.
Like, so ridiculous.
And he's like, okay, good. Work on that right. Work on that right. And like, that's just the exact kind of guy he is. So me and James are hiding in the bush in the front after he keeps Ding Dong Dish in the same house. He just keeps doing it.
Yeah.
And they clearly know it's him. So they just call the house and we're hiding in the tree in the front yard. And his door just flies open and Big Bob walks out. Hey, James, you like ringing doorbells? I'm about to ring your bell. Get your fucking ass in the house. And James is like, shit, I gotta go. And he just sprints in. I was like, oh, God. Like, all right, I'm going to go home now. And just like went home.
Yeah,
I was like,
yeah.
Oh, you're home early. What happened? I was like, man, manhunt ended. Like,
yeah, we're
I
done.
Won. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's you so like good. Ringing doorbells? I'm going to ring your bell.
Yo, those,
what a line.
It's that is a good line. Oh man, I'm trying to think if we had any like scary neighbors. I don't think we did, but like we would definitely do like the same houses over and over again and just fuck with them so badly. And like we would get the cops called and stuff, and like that was the biggest rush, right? When you saw a cop car come down the road, you're like hiding in the bushes, freaking out, you know? Like that was the best.
We had different rushes again. If I saw cops, I was like, my life is over, I'm done. I can't believe this. It got to this point.
Did you guys have any, did you do any like senior pranks in high school?
Yeah, like, I wasn't a part of any, but I'm trying to remember what somebody did. What? Nothing, anything good. Not where. So yeah. Like we had rival high schools. You know, once they broke us up to Smithtown East, Smithtown West. I think some kids from East like went and tore up the football field at West, or they forked it. It was so stupid. Like they put like a billion forks in the field.
That's kind of lame.
So dumb. That's where it's like,
I mean, it's a pain. It's a pain in the ass to pick up, but it's also a pain in the ass to do.
To put down.
Like, yeah.
Like, who wants to do that?
No wonder why you weren't involved in that.
Yeah. I was like, that sounds awful. I know, not to jump back, but even describing your Mother's Day, I was like, oh man, this sounds like my nightmare of a day. Cooking and then hiking. Oh my God. Those are two of my not strengths. So that would have been a disaster of a day for me.
Yo, so I was a part of our senior prank and we, there was like six of us, I think, six guys, all guys I think you've actually met, Spiro being one of them. And then I don't know if you remember Duggan and Devin and those guys. Yeah. So we did you guys have like a float parade and stuff?
God, man.
Like for homecoming?
Remember. Yeah, we definitely did.
Okay. So like we were on the float committee and stuff. So we created the float every year. Like it was me and like, you know, whatever, 20 other people. But anyways, so my house is really close to the high school. So we like told my parents that like, and it was the night before homecoming day or whatever. So we had school the next day, but I told my parents, oh, we have to, I don't know. We need to work on the float in the morning or something. And it's at the high school. I don't know, some bullshit to get all my buddies to sleep over my house on a school night. I mean, senior year. So I guess it really doesn't matter, but so we all slept in the basement of my house and I left the garage door open like a couple feet, you know, before we went to bed so we could sneak out.
Smart.
Yeah. So we snuck out and like the high school is literally, I mean, 2 minutes from my house. So we like hopped in my buddy's truck, put it in neutral and like rolled it down the road and then took off. Right. So, and this was at like 2 a.m. So we get to the high school and we like park behind the high school, like on another road. So we're not in the parking lot. And we had this, we called it the booster barn, but it was basically like the snack shed. And like, there was some storage area next to the football field. But it's very in sight of like everything at the high school. Like if you come into the parking lot, it's like, you can see it. Right. So, there was all these rumors going around, the school like the weeks leading into that someone's going to paint it, right? And And we were like, that's bullshit. No one's going to paint it, but fuck it. We're going to paint it because I know no one else is going to do it. So we're going to paint it. So like we actually got like paint donated to us, but it was all because of the quote unquote float. Yeah. So we got like green and white paint because that was our school colors. So we roll up. There's six of us. We have freaking, it was like so badass. We had like backpacks on. We all had like hoods on. You know, we just looked like freaking criminals running.
Right.
And we all had like, you know, we had like paint cans and paint brushes and like, you know, the big painting poles, you know. So we get there. We had a ladder. So six of us rolling. And like we were like walking across like, because all the fields like in the back. So where we parked was like in the back. So we had to walk through all the fields to get there. And like it was so badass. I'll never forget. Like we looked up and like there's all the lights on the high school and it's like us six like creeping through like the baseball fields to get to the and we get there and we paint, you know, we paint and we write like, I don't know, we wrote like seniors 07 or something on it. I forget what we wrote, but
rebels.
Yeah, we're such rebels. Yeah. It doesn't sound that great, but it was really like the
what
we did wasn't like all that cool, but like at the time, no one did anything like that. Like it wasn't a thing at our school to do senior pranks or whatever. Right.
Right.
And so we get in the next day and everyone's freaking talking about it. Right. Like everyone's like, oh my God, who did this? And then there's these kids, these other group of like seniors who start taking credit for it. They're like, yeah, we did it. And we're like, you know, we didn't say anything because we knew we could get in fucking huge trouble.
Right.
So
let those idiots get in trouble.
Yeah. So then all of a sudden, like this rumor starts going around that like whoever painted it was gonna like get expelled or suspended or something and like wouldn't be able to participate in homecoming and that they weren't gonna have homecoming until someone admitted to it. So like the whole day, like we're kind of like, what do we do? Like, we're not gonna admit to it, but like I don't know. Like that would suck if we couldn't have homecoming because of us. Like that would be no good. But we kind of were just like, that's bullshit. Like they're definitely not going to cancel homecoming because someone painted the booster barn. Like, come on. Right.
Right.
So anyways, we're like, I'm walking around school that day and the public safety officer. So the cop that was at our school all the time, we were really close with, like we knew him really well. He comes up to me and he goes, hey, Frank, got some green paint on your shoes. And I looked down and I didn't have green paint on my shoes, but I looked down and he's like, he looks at me and goes, that's all I need to see you do. That's all I need to see you do. And I was like, oh shit. Like I thought I was fucked, you know? So I walk away. He never says anything though. And then they go to the school goes to paint over it before homecoming. Cause they didn't want it up there for whatever reason. And like a bunch.
And all you painted was class of 07.
We like painted the whole thing. Yeah. We didn't paint anything like,
yeah, paint like yeah,
derogatory thing. Yeah.
Mrs. Nothing Connolly sucks. Whatever.
Yeah. No. We just painted it, and we don't see. I don't know. They didn't want it there, obviously. But then a group of kids went out before they painted it, and like pleaded them for them not to paint it and keep it. So like people wanted it there. It was really cool. So a bunch of seniors did that, and they kept. And now it's a tradition every single year that they assign people to do it now, which is pretty lame. Yeah.
Come on, let them sneak in at 2 a.m. Across the baseball field to make memories
who's going to do it first, you know? Like
right.
So anyways, it's always there now, which is kind of cool. So it's, you know, cemented our place in history. Little
tradition you started. Yeah. That is awesome.
So it was cool. It was one of those moments. And we videotaped the whole thing.
You rap. Well, who's got a copy of that tape?
So one of my buddies, we made a few different copies. No, Duggan would lose it. But we didn't tell anybody until graduation. Like we literally kept it to ourselves and we didn't tell a soul. Like literally it was like us six guys, which is pretty hard to do. I feel like not to tell somebody.
Yeah.
I remember I told everybody.
Especially at that age.
Yeah. You're like, you want to tell everybody. Right?
Yeah. You have to.
So, that was pretty cool. But, yeah, that's, that was our cool senior prank. But yeah, so I guess we've talked for like 40 minutes about God knows what. I don't know.
Has it been that long?
It's been a while. But dude, we can't not talk about this in this episode because it's about to start. And I think a few days, the Isles, man, what is wrong with them?
What do you mean? What's wrong with them? Let's go Islanders.
The four seed, they lose last night.
Frankie, none of that matters. You get in because this is a team.
All you need to get in.
Built for this. All right. Because now guess what? It's one shift, one period, one game at a time. We take it to the next level, and that's what Islanders hockey is about. We're going to outwork you. We're going to outgrit you in the corners. Congratulations to all these other teams that needed to exuberate all their energy leading up to the playoffs because they couldn't put themselves in positions to, you know, make it earlier in the year. But, yeah, it does suck. The Islanders fell to the four seed when this was dominant at home. What do you think
about play the Pens?
Bring them on, baby.
Honestly, I lost track of the standings after the Rangers were eliminated. I kind of was, I was checking like every day until the Rangers were eliminated. And I looked last night. I'm like, holy shit, the Penguins are in first place all of a sudden. Yep. I feel like that happened like just like the last week of the season, right?
No, Penguins had a great year. They were hot. They're a team that actually owned us during the regular season, which kind of sucked. I think they went 6-2 out of the 8 meetings they had. But I'm confident, man, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but watching them in the playoffs for the third straight year, this is a team that takes it to the next level come playoff time. I'm not as worried. I think some other Islander fans, I've seen some annoying shit on Twitter of like, oh, we're a first-round exit easily. No, bring on Pittsburgh. We're going to outplay them defensively. We have the better goaltender. We're going to follow the system, and we're going to score those timely goals. And guess what? Bring on round two. I hope it's the Caps. I hope they end up beating the Bruins because I want to play the fucking Caps so badly. I want to beat the shit out of Tom Wilson. And I love when Trotz gets to beat his former team. But, I mean, it's here. It's here. I got a hell of a weekend coming up. Flying down to Tampa on Friday. Go see our boy Russo. Happy birthday. Shout out to him. Ben Jones is meeting us down there. Least shocking thing ever. We're lined up to see Jacob DeGrom pitch Saturday. Goes on the DL. Yeah. So now not going to get to see him, but that's okay.
Who are they playing?
The Rays.
Oh, really? Okay. Because the Yankees are playing. I was thinking that the
Yankees are there now, I think.
Yeah.
Because Russo was trying to get Leary and me to come down earlier to go to some Yankee games and then the Mets games. But I messaged him today. I was like, hey, the schedule should come out pretty soon. If the Islanders are noon on Sunday, we're not going to the Mets game.
Yeah.
We're not.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, I'm down. We'll do whatever. So
Mets games at 1, I assume.
Yeah, Mets game's at 1 on Sunday. My flight's at like 6 o'clock that night. But
who's pitching, Jabroni?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we'll get Stroman now. Probably Joey Lucchese, Chessiani.
Bring someone up from the minors. Jimmy Jabroni.
Yeah, that's what we're gonna get to see now. Exactly. My first live baseball game in over 2 years. Why would I want to see Jacob DeGrom, the greatest pitcher to ever exist? Yeah, we're gonna get to see, you know, a nice AAA starter. But no, the Mets pitching, Mets pitching's been great. Offense has got to get going a little bit more. But hey, they're in first place, and what a wild baseball season we've had so far.
Yo, 5 no hitters. It's not insane. Including the Bumgarner one,
right?
Which is ridiculous, by the way.
Bullshit.
Yeah, you gotta. I mean,
if you're gonna change baseball and have 7 innings, guess what? It's a fucking no hitter.
How dumb is that? It's absurd. How dumb is that? You can't change the rules of the game because you want to speed up the game or whatever the reasoning is, but then not allow people to like have record. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, you need to. Anyways, that's beside the point. I really don't give a shit about it, to be honest. But
nah, I agree with you. But it's just been a weird baseball season.
I think I saw a stat this morning. MLB average. Is 234, which is the lowest in baseball history.
Yep, most strikeouts ever, least amount of like home runs through this point too. So we're definitely back to that dead ball era, which is what they wanted. Apparently,
do you think they changed something?
Absolutely, they admitted they changed the baseball.
Yeah, well, they admitted, but they didn't say that it would actually change anything. They just said
they deadened it or whatever. So you're seeing a lot of these ones that are now, you know, getting caught at the warning track that were all like 10 rows up last year because it was ridiculous last year. They played with a bouncy ball last year.
Well, I think the last like. 5 years, 3 years,
yeah. Since like 2018, I think they were talking about in the Mets broadcast of like when you noticeably noticed.
Nice. Well, we're not a grammar podcast. So.
When you noticeably notice that the ball was just flying off the bat, I think it was, you know, in 2018 or whatever. But
Mike just, I don't know what just happened to Mike. I think we lost him. Where is he?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, kind of.
Holy
shit. We lost Mike there. I'm not going to edit this because this is too good. But Mike got excited that he flipped his computer over.
My knee hit it, and I was about to go back to talking playoff hockey. I got excited. Flipped the computer, closed it, almost broke a toe. But here I am. You know, you overcome and, you know, carry on. So, whew. Made it.
Oh, yeah. Man. So the Los Mets.
But you saw this whole story about this fake hitting coach, right? Donnie. Have you seen any of these stories?
Mike, don't get me started on this crap.
What crap?
Yeah.
Crap.
Donnie,
the Mets
Donnie,
have won five games in a row since Donnie. You know who Donnie actually is?
Who?
It's Pete Alonso.
Oh, it's just so, Pete Alonso.
Yeah, he went to a team, a hitters only meeting, and he showed up in like a backwards hat and glasses and just did this whole character of Donnie God. To try to loosen up the players. Because
Donnie got Chili Davis fired. So I'm
well,
happy
you know what, Chili, when you bring in a superstar like Lindor and he's hitting 160, I don't know if your philosophy's working.
Oh, yeah. You think it's Chili Davis's fault that Lindor can't hit? That's
no. But you need a scapegoat and you need to wake up this team and let them know, guys, we're here to do a fucking job.
Here's the thing, though. Here's
all the play time is all fun, but we're here to execute and do a job.
Oh, you think Donnie baseball was not a – like, I mean, that's a joke too, though. Like, so what you're saying is right. I agree with you. But, like, the fact that Donnie – Donnie Stevenson. oh my God, I can't believe we're talking about this. Donnie Stevenson
is
Pete
shirt.
Alonso. And it's, yeah, I mean, it's funny and it's a good bit, but like it did get, I mean, it could have got Chili Davis fired because it's basically like, well, Chili Davis isn't doing anything. But the whole hitting coach in general is a joke of a position. Like you can't, they shouldn't get credit when the team is good, right? And mm-hmm. they shouldn't get fired when the team is not hitting. I understand it's a scapegoat and you just need to maybe wake up the team, but like it, I never agreed with like firing a hitting coach because a team isn't hitting. Like,
well, you don't think they necessarily can bring to the table of like a philosophy and pitches to look for, and
I think
just
they
that
can,
pregame like, prep of how to, you know, work with the players on what their approach looks like that day.
Yeah, sure, but like all those analytics and video and all that stuff is available to the players whenever they want. Do you think Lindor is really like comes in and Chili Davis is like, hey, like let's try this, like. I don't know, like you as a hitter, and not that we were anywhere close to professional level, right?
But we were
like,
pretty close.
we were close,
Frank.
But like, I just imagine. 2-3
hitter action. Man.
Line drive
to the gap. I'm going to drive you in over the fence.
I guess my point is, I doubt Francisco Lindor is coming in every day and like Chili Davis is like, hey, like, well, why don't you take this approach? Whatever. Right. And then Lindor gets in there and then he's like, oh, that's not working. Let's fire him. Like, come on. That's so dumb. I don't believe that these professional hitters, especially guys, veterans like Lindor, who've been in the league for a number of years, are really relying on a hitting coach's philosophy. I think they're relying on their own philosophy. Right?
With all of that said, I agree with you. I really do. You know, I think they can have some impact, but for the most part, it's, you know, your talent is what gotten you here. You know how to fucking hit. You're in the major leagues. Go fucking hit and execute.
Right.
You don't need a coach to show you what to do.
I mean,
so I agree.
I do think
but
there's like,
coming
there's
out of
input
it, baby.
There. There's definitely input, and there's probably like, you know, they may see certain things, right, that you're not seeing. But like, again, at the end of the day, yeah, you're right. Like at the end of the day, it's not. I don't think it's changing the way they step up to the plate and what the way they're thinking. But that being said,
New York's hot right now, Frank.
Yeah, the Yankees look Yankees good. Pitching they're, is amazing too right yep. now, which
They've
is
turned
unbelievable.
The corner.
Kluber's been unbelievable.
Yep.
His last four or five starts, he's been, I think he's given up three or less in his last five. Tyone's coming around. Herman's coming around. I think the Yankees aren't hitting still, though. I mean, it's still right. part of the problem, but you
That's
have to
all
think
of Major League Baseball.
Exactly.
It seems like outside of the freaking Reds who put
the problem, though, the problem with that with the Yankees, though, is that the Yankees, everyone's not hitting, but the Yankees are supposed to hit, right? Like, not every team right. is supposed to hit like the Yankees. Right. So
the Bronx Bombers.
Am I concerned? No. I think give it another, if you give me another 20 games and they're still hitting like this, I'll start it, because then that's like a third of the season, you know. So
yeah, it's funny, like baseball season though, even you said another 20 games. Frank, there's still another 4.5 months to go in the season.
I know, but we're already 20% through the season.
Yeah.
Which is a significant percentage of the season. Like, I mean, if you look back and you go like the Yankees were 18-16 through the first 20% of the season. I mean, you go 18-16. I mean, I guess you end up eight games over 500. That's right. That's not good for the, I mean, for
probably
the
in the playoffs.
Yeah. But for the Yankees, when you're expected to win 100 games, it's probably not gonna win the division.
No,
eight games over 500
division, the Red Sox, are not gonna hold on to that lead.
I guess eight games over 500 is what, 90 wins.
Yeah.
Maybe 90-72. That's not gonna win the division, but it'll probably, you're right. I think 90 wins gets you in the playoffs, especially there's an additional playoff spot this year or no. Or that go away?
Nah, I can't keep up, Frank. I don't know. All right. It's ridiculous.
Right. Last year, there was additional playoff spot. No?
Yeah. Last year, there was. I think they got rid of it and they got rid of the DH this year. I'm not even 100% sure, though. I'll worry about the playoffs when the Mets are making me worry about the playoffs. Sure.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah. But the whole league, like, no one's hitting, but like, no one's playing great baseball.
No, the Giants have the best record in baseball at 20-14.
Yeah, and the Red Sox, I think, are right there too at 20-14.
So. And like the Cardinals, maybe at like 21-16 or something.
Yeah.
No, baseball, it's a weird year. It's going to be a battle towards the end, which is going to be fun. I think the whole NL East, you look at that, and it's a perfect snapshot of baseball. The Mets are in first place. The only team that has a positive run differential is the Marlins at +17, and they're in last place. Like, it just, nothing makes sense about baseball this season. But moving on.
The Marlins are the only team in baseball with them?
No, in the division. Okay, in the NL East. I was like,
Jesus, that's terrible.
They're the only team in that division with a positive run.
And they're in last place. Like, exactly.
And they're in last place. Yeah. It's absurd. But just a quick subject or quick touch on it. The New York Knicks, baby.
Dude, we got to talk about the Knicks.
Spot. Locked up a great win against the Clippers. They're in LA again, and it's real. It is real, man.
Yes, like, it's absolutely real. Like, they are legit a good team.
Right. Like, now just saying, like, hopefully they win a first round. They're winning a first round matchup.
I do think, like, everything is gravy. Like, I do have that feeling in mind. However, I would be disappointed if they were either the 4 or 5 seed, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I hope they don't fall to the 6, but like, if they're the 4 or 5 seed and they don't win that round, especially if it's against the Hawks,
right?
No, I'd be disappointed.
I think Ben's listening.
If the Heat get in there, I'll have a different opinion on it, because the Heat are just, I mean, they're veteran. Like, they're just a veteran group. They're obviously made the finals last year. Like, I'd have a different feeling about the Heat, but I still think we could beat the Heat.
Yeah,
like. And then, so our second round matchup would be against the 76ers potentially, right?
Bring them
on, baby.
Bring them on. It's just, I can't believe how much I've gotten back into the NBA, all thanks to the New York Knicks. And I think what's so exciting about it too is, like, this is just the start. I mean, the cap space they have, the core they're building there. I think they will pay Julius Randle, and I think he deserves it. You know, getting a super max or whatever, you know, those contracts they give out in the NBA, which are insane. But,
I think you have to. I agree.
I think the playoffs are going to be very telling for it too. Which isn't fair.
Yeah,
it's not fair because the guys carried them all year.
Is he going to be first team All NBA? I think it's very possible.
Like, yeah.
Which is a huge, huge, like, huge acknowledgement of how, even if he's second team All NBA, like, that's still, it's such a huge accomplishment, especially for a guy. He was terrible last year, and he hasn't been very. I mean, he's been an okay
terrible is aggressive.
He was pretty bad last year.
It is sad. You know, you don't want a tragedy like that to drive somebody, but he gives a lot of the credit to Kobe. And after Kobe passed, where he's like, you know, he wants to start passing on a lot of the things Kobe taught him that he wasn't actually putting into effect, like being the first one to the gym on the road after, you know, dinner or something, taking guys to the gym and going, getting shots up, and just being a leader like that, and just spending all your time in the gym and working on every aspect of your game. And you're seeing it pay off for him, which is
awesome.
Well,
and the best thing is, like, against the Clippers, he didn't play very well. And other guys stepped up, man. It's
my God. Rose looked unbelievable. Dude, RJ with that huge three in the fourth.
Here's a good question for you. This came up yesterday on, I forget what show I was watching, but like Kyle Lowry is going to be a free agent, I guess.
Yep.
And he's like 35 years old, which I didn't know. My point is, I would not sign him. And they were talking about, like, whether, like, he would be a good fit. I think he would be a good fit, but I'm not giving that guy. I'm not giving him 2 years at 35 years old. 35 years old? Here's the question, though. Would you rather bring back Derrick Rose, who's 32, and now I know Rose has his injury histories, but 32 versus 35, would you give Derrick Rose a two-year deal? I'd rather give Derrick Rose a two-year deal.
Yeah. Nah, if you're going to position it like that, it depends what the money associated with it is and the rest of the roster they're going to construct. But, Rose, I love him.
Yeah, here's the thing. You got to bring in – I don't know what they do this offseason, but, like – The goal or the plan has to be bring in sign Julius Randle. That's whatever that happens, right? To a max, which I think you have to do at this point. And then you got to bring in another max player, right, to go side. Absolutely. I think Julius Randle easily could be a very, very good number two on the team. And I know he's been the one on this team, but meaning like to, if we're talking about
a championship,
what we want to talk about
our team. I agree with you.
And then you got Barrett, you know, as I guess the three, and then you fill in the roster from there, right?
Yeah. No, like absolutely. It's going to be very curious. I either got to go get a big time point guard or a big time number three, the guy on the wing there. Because, again, you got Mitchell Robinson coming back, who will be at center. Noel has been fantastic off the bench, too, as your, you know, again, rim protector in the middle of the paint. Julius Randle, walk down that power forward spot and go get a stud point guard or a stud wing, and then keep filling out that bench and just this mentality they have. Defense first.
Dude, Thibodeau is the man.
I love him. Well-deserved.
It's crazy how these things happen, right? Like, you mean to hear Tom Thibodeau over and over again for the last, like, whatever, 15 years. He's coached here, he's coached there. And we've just had all these terrible coaches, and you just don't realize, like, what a real coach can do, right? Like,
until you see them in action. Yeah, Barry Trotz.
Look at a roster
that looked like absolute dog shit, and you're like, God, we're fucked. The Islanders are so screwed for the next couple of years after Tavares leaves. And three straight years in the playoffs, that's Barry Trotz. And that's getting a team to buy into a philosophy, a system, and you're going to go beat the shit out of somebody else for your brothers in this locker room.
Well,
and
I mean, look at the Knicks roster.
It's not that good. Dude,
you're getting contributions, like big contributions from Reggie Bullock.
I love Reggie Bullock. You know that.
I know. He's a sharpshooter for you in NBA. He's like a journeyman veteran guy who like is like at best on a team like a seventh guy, you know, like, and he is putting up like some nights he's putting up 20 plus points.
Yeah, 25 against the Clippers, I think.
And then like, I mean, he's still hurt, but Alec Burks like has played great for the Knicks. Yep. Like another guy who I know he was a big prospect out of college. Baylor, am I right there? Did he go to Baylor? Ooh, Mikey, this is a. Am I stumping you? I think he did.
No, it's not Baylor.
Are you sure?
Oh my God, Alec Burks. I know he was drafted by Utah, and it was a. Oh my God.
Hold on, I'm looking it up. I'm doing. Oh, Colorado.
I knew it wasn't Baylor. Damn it, I had that. That's embarrassing.
But like, he's contributed. Like, you have this and Noel out of nowhere contribute. Like, you just have all these guys that have pretty much no business being like. Really impactful players on a team and we're the freaking four seed.
Yeah. No, it's fun. Like we've talked about, we're at that time of year, baby. We need to talk about football because we'll have plenty of time to talk about football. I can't watch Get Up. I can't watch it.
No, dude, it's all Aaron Rodgers. It's constantly
with no new news. No, there's no new quotes. Oh, there's no new updates.
We gotta talk about this. ESPN, we were texting about this last week. So Schefter was on the Dan Patrick show.
Mm-hmm.
I think you saw this, right? And Dan Patrick was like asking him, kind of grilling him about like the Rodgers news on when they announced that on draft day that Rodgers wanted out. And Schefter admitted that there was no new news that day, that nothing had come in the last, whatever, 24 hours for him to change the narrative on what Rodgers wanted. He basically said that it was just like the information had compiled over time in the last whatever 3 or 4 months that has led to him not wanting to be there. But no one reported it to him, or like Rodgers didn't say anything to him, or the pack. It's all a bunch of bullshit. It's all them so just annoying. Creating storylines out of nothing. So like, if you think about that timeline, right? Draft day, obviously huge. So they want to create some sort of other story around a big player in the NFL. Oh, let's just say that Rodgers wants out, something that most people already know, right? Like that's kind of a known fact, but like it hasn't gotten to a point where it's like been boiling over, I would say. Right. And they just created a storyline out of nowhere. We have no idea if that's actually like accurate. Like,
no.
Like, yeah, okay, I think he wants because, out, but, like, that doesn't mean, like, he, like, that this has become so, I don't know, so, what's the word, I'm like, so over, overwhelmingly bad for the Packers and Rodgers that like right now, like it could warrant a trade. Like
they release this on draft day because then it gets everybody's wheel spinning of, well, if they trade this year's first and next year's second and this year's third, because you know it's going to take a lot of draft capital to get it done. So you drop this bomb on draft day and you just let everybody start getting in that mindset and mode and start going through all those dumbass scenarios that are not going to happen. It's brutal and frustrating. But on a more positive note, as us Gator boys, a boy Tebow coming back to the NFL. So outrageous. Guy hasn't played in 9 years, but I'll tell you what, if there's somebody who's going to be able to walk off the street after spending the last 6 years in the Mets minor league system and was going to lay some great chop blocks and was going to catch a ball out of the flat and truck stick somebody up the sideline, it's Timothy Tebow.
You know my stance on Tim Tebow. I think he got absolutely hosed. Like he should have. I mean, he brought the Broncos to a freaking playoff game and won it. And then he basically got ostracized from the league, you know?
Right.
But it's totally absurd that he's in the league. Like, I couldn't, like, well, when we saw he tried out or whatever, it was like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, yeah. Whatever that was.
It was like, I think, draft day.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, well, another storyline. Yeah, yeah. You kind of
that one actually hit.
Yeah, you kind of knew it was going to happen, though. I kind of had a feeling like he wasn't going to try out if he didn't. I don't know if he didn't know he was going to make the team. I feel like right. With Urban Meyer, like, come on, right. Like he's going to make the team.
Urban, you make so how much money off those national championships? Get me on a fucking roster. Yeah, exactly. In this football locker room. And also from Urban Meyer's perspective, I this is the one point they were bringing up of just like, he's not going to make the roster because backup tight ends are usually special teams players. Can you really see Tebow running up on kickoffs and punt returns and things like that?
I think so.
So is he going to make the roster? What is he bringing to you? The guy knows how to bring locker rooms together. All right. He's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He knows how to spread the good word.
I do think he can contribute. I think he can, like, on a punt team. I think he can contribute on a punt team.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going to lay somebody out and go nuts. Exactly. And he's going to have the crowd going nuts. No, go nuts. It's a move that I don't understand why there's getting so much negative publicity around it. It's just
people are pissed. Are pissed because he's been out of the league for so long and, like, they don't understand why. Guess why? Because he's a popular guy who can probably help sell some jerseys and maybe possibly tickets in a place that sucks at selling tickets. And it's with his old coach. Like, is it bullshit? Probably, but like, whatever. Like, why do people care about this?
He's
shit
not
so
going to bring anything negative to that locker room. That's for sure. So I don't know, again, why people are getting on him, but I'm pumped to see him get his third try, I guess, at sports. It'll be fun to watch, but it'll be good.
Oh, man. All right. Well, you got anything else, Mikey? Because I got to go play some golf soon.
I know. I'm jealous of you. I'm excited for you. I might maybe try and get out this afternoon because it is looking gorgeous down here as well. And I don't have a crazy day. But we'll see what happens. No, nothing really else. Mother's Day was nice. My brother into Charlotte.
Tell me about it. Disrespectful. I didn't ask you.
That's how we'll wrap it up. It was a good – I liked it. Open-ended. Got some other good sports talk in the middle, and then we'll round it out. But no, went out to Charlotte. My brother's moving to a gorgeous new house, so we were helping them move in, put to work. I was like a slave all weekend. It was brutal.
So you'd rather do that than go hike?
Yeah. maybe, because at least then I got to sit and relax on the nice couch and watch the TV after I was tired for working for a couple minutes, where if on a hike, you know, you have to commit. You can't just stop halfway through and be like, all right, let's go home.
No, you got to make the rest.
Unless you could teleport, which would be fantastic.
With babies on your back.
Yeah, no, that's a rough one.
30 pounds.
Eek. No, but it was nice. I would say, you know, I was surprised at my brother, though. He's usually a very, you know, he's good at planning ahead. He's got this great smoker. He goes to set it up Sunday morning for a little Mother's Day brunch, and it doesn't work. The propane doesn't work. Empty. So my mom made this egg dish, and we talked about the egg dish. And my brother was so committed to smoking it. And
what?
Me and Liz were like, we're going to smoke the eggs? Like, it's an egg dish. But there's sausage in it, too. It was good, I will say.
Wait, did you end up smoking it?
Yeah. So then he went out to the store, went and got whatever he needed, the wood chips and propane or whatever, and a torch. But
let's back up a little bit. So your brother's a smoker.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't prepared to smoke anything, though.
Mm-mm.
But really wanted to smoke an egg dish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so those are the facts.
Those are the facts.
What sort of egg dish are we talking about?
It was the one we talked about. This it's almost like an egg casserole, so it's like sausage, like an English muffin at the bottom or whatever.
Okay, okay, cheese, delicious. Eggs. Sounds delicious.
Yep.
Is that something you smoke?
No,
is that something you
it was
bake?
Definitely the first time I've ever had smoked eggs, and it was interesting. That's for sure. It doesn't feel more like a breakfast; feels more like a lunch. But it was, yeah. it did the job. It was
okay.
It worked.
Okay.
But was just a little surprised at the lack of preparation from him. I'm sure a lot going on, so I apologize if you're listening, Chris. But
well, he should be listening. First of all, second of all, listen. Everyone's got shit going on. Just get it together. Yeah.
Thank you. Now you're preaching to the choir on that one. So it's nice.
Talking to the guy who has everything together over here, Mike.
Like, I'm not a planner ahead. Come on now. Of course I am.
When's the last time you planned anything, Mike? I guess you're going this weekend. You planned that, right?
Huh? How about that? Booked flights. We got a whole weekend planned. I can't wait. We're going to get there, maybe do a little Top Golf. Then the Mets game Friday night.
You got to record Russo playing golf.
Dude, I can't wait. Absolutely. You will get a lot of videos. But also just hilarious timing. As you know, we're so obsessed with the Saw movies. And Russo.
Yeah, yeah.
The new one with Chris Rock and Samuel L. Jackson comes out Saturday night. So we're going to the Mets game at 1 o'clock. We tried renting a theater because Saturday's baseball game, we got a box and it's an open bar. Okay. So we're not going to be sober heading to the movie theater. So we're like, maybe we should just rent out our own theater because Russo threw the idea out there. So I think we're still trying to get that done.
Is it crazy though? Is that crazy expensive?
No, that's where Russo was like, it's like $150. And we're like, are what? You kidding me? Let's do that. Like,
why would you do that every time?
To avoid not having to get arrested. Because I don't think it's full capacity to begin with. Although right. It's Florida. Bullshit. It's definitely full capacity. Yeah. They're probably like, no mask, none of this. You don't need any of that. Full theater.
Yeah.
You can share popcorn with any other guest you want.
They actually just have like serving stations, right? Where there's just big popcorn.
It's a buffet.
Stick your hand in and just get all that fucking butter all over your head.
But it'll be good. That's really it that I got going on. I'm trying to think what else. I was going to tell a story there, and I don't even remember it now. That's pretty typical.
You got anything, movies or shows? Anything you want to talk about?
Yes. Great call out. Okay. We can end on this one. I watched Tenet yesterday.
What
a mind fucking what
did
a
you understand
movie.
It do you yeah, understand?
I did. I was so proud of myself because so many people, Liz was cracking up. She's like, I've never seen you so nervous for a movie. I was like, I'm just so scared I'm gonna get lost so quickly and get frustrated. So like, I keep telling myself, like, don't get frustrated. If you get lost, you can rewatch it, just keep watching it. It was awesome, man. Absolutely loved it. It can get a little confusing at times, but well worth the watch. It was awesome. So it's on HBO Max. Highly recommend it.
I might have to borrow your login, Mikey.
Yep.
That for Hulu too, because you have Hulu, right?
Yep.
And you haven't watched Handmaid's Tale though, right?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. Okay. So they came out with a new season. I want to watch that. And Allison's into that. Have you ever watched Ozarks by any chance?
Oh yeah. Ozark's incredible. I can't wait for that new season.
So I watched the first season when it first came out.
Haven't seen two or three?
No. Well, so I started two, but like, I think I got like halfway through it and stopped. I don't know why. For whatever reason, I didn't continue.
Crazy.
But I told me and Allison are going to actually start it from the beginning, though. I said, Al, would you be interested in watching this? And she's like, yeah,
she'll
sure,
love
why
it.
Not? And so we're going to start over because I remember it, but I don't remember everything. So I can go back and watch it.
Yeah, that's an easy rewatch show, too. But no, the last two seasons were great in Ozark. I can't wait for season four.
Yeah.
But that's really it. And then I watched Mad Max, which I actually think was a little overrated. It got a lot of hype.
Oh, with Tom Hardy?
Yeah, I was, I was good. Maybe it wasn't, good for my second movie of the day, because I did watch A Star Is Born, which that's a tough movie to watch in the morning, Frank. I felt depressed and sad like all day.
Yeah,
I was like, oh my God.
Like, that's like a mood. You need to be in the right mood for that. It's called
not a lunchtime
depressed.
Movie. It's not a lunchtime movie.
You need like a glass of wine and like just sit down and just be sad about life.
Yeah, and like I hadn't showered yet that day either. So,
so
like,
just
the movie
felt
ended
terrible.
Awful. Like just like, what am I doing? Oh man, and how does he leave Lady Gaga like that? It sent me down a huge Lady Gaga Pandora station for the afternoon, and then I got in a much better mood because then you realize, like, okay, she's pretty good. Rah, 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 little bad romance. So you're like, okay, all right. She had a bad romance with Bradley Cooper. She's moved on. She's good to go. She's actually won her Grammys, and didn't have Bradley Cooper ruin it for her. Also, their live performance, again, I went down this rabbit hole of watching all these Lady Gaga YouTube videos. It was very nice, but isn't Bradley Cooper married?
He is, yeah.
I don't know if he still is after watching that YouTube video.
Yo, that's, by the way, it's super impressive that he was able to like sing that well. Like standing next to Lady Gaga, who's like the greatest singer in the world.
Gotta be so
like,
intimidating.
So
he does
intimidating.
Have, I think, one of and the greatest voices.
Yeah, and he's talked about that, like I with that movie, how like intimidating it was to like get up, because I don't think he's ever sung before like that, you know? And
right.
It's just so impressive in general that like, that's why a lot of these movie stars, they're so talented. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like they can sing like this is a funny example of like the movie Rio, right? That I watched with the kids, the bird movie. Like Anne Hathaway is the voice of the lady bird in it. And she sings in it. And I'm like, she's got a really good voice. Like what the hell? You know, like I can't sing worth shit. And these people are acting and singing and whatever.
We learned that Saturday night. So Mother's Day weekend, Saturday night, after we finished moving everything in, we had a rager of a karaoke party. Bottles of wine were flowing. You ever
parents and your brother and sister left?
The six of us.
Interesting.
So like, you ever just go? So we got this idea from Ben Jones, because it is so much fun. Anytime we'd come home from the bar, if you know Ben, he's obsessed with getting home, cracking open more drinks, sitting on the couch and watching music videos. And like singing along to it. It's his favorite thing to do after the bar. So we were feeling good. I suggested it. We did it. Next thing you know, we were jamming out till 1 o'clock in the morning, just singing, you know, Celine Dion, Colder Weather, some good country songs. So it was a blast of an evening, but I forgot where I was going with that story.
You lose your train of thought.
I don't know what's going on this afternoon, Frankie. It's been a rough one for me, but maybe that was the story. We had a great time singing.
Great story.
Because we were just talking about singing. Oh, and that's what sent me down. It made me want to watch A Star Is Born. Because I was like, I feel like that movie has amazing songs in it. There's like four scenes where they're singing. Everything else is depression.
That movie is, I think, extremely overrated, by the way.
Really good.
I think it's just, I don't know. I remember it being all hyped up and then me watching it and being like, meh.
Well, Lady Gaga steals the show. And Bradley Cooper is amazing at his
character. They're both great.
He's freaking frustrating as hell in it.
Yeah,
like, I think I just remember fucking bottle down, but I understand that's the point of the movie, that kind of battle.
Yeah.
So, you know, I understood it, but my God, you're just like, just do one nice thing for Lady Gaga and I don't want to give the movie away.
Don't act like a jack wagon.
Yeah. And then kill yourself. Like, come on, Bradley.
Yeah. I forget. I haven't seen that movie in a while. I have to go back and watch it because I remember being really disappointed in the movie, being like,
But I think that was the point of the movie.
The theme of alcoholism and depression and things like that, of course.
And the constant disappointment with it. So I think actually
they nailed it.
Perfect. Yeah. I think they absolutely nailed it.
That's why I'm not a depressed person. I don't have those feelings. So I don't know. I mean, I know people do, and I hope those people get themselves help, but for some, you know, maybe that's why I just watched it and it didn't sit right with me. I don't know.
But yeah, I get way too into movies because that like ruined my afternoon. And then I was like, all right, Mad Max is apparently is better. And I don't know. I just wasn't in the right mindset. I poured a glass of scotch, watched it, and I didn't like it. So I don't know, maybe I'll give it another try, but I don't know what I'm watching tonight. I mean, obviously I'll have the Mets on one TV, but I'm back on my hardcore like movie bender.
I want to watch. I went, so it's funny, and I know we're just like going way over here, but you mentioned a YouTube rabbit hole. I did the same thing so I was watching. I didn't watch it, but I forget where. I think I saw something on Instagram about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which is amazing. And I think it was like an interview with the three of them. So Brad Pitt, Leo, and Margot Robbie. And then of course, like I took it to YouTube to try to find like more because I was so interested. I spent a good hour just scrolling through YouTube looking at like interviews of them. And then I went to like Ford versus Ferrari with Christian Bale and Matt Damon. And then I went down this Christian Bale rabbit hole of like people loving him because he's like, he's just so good.
I mean, he was a stud as a kid. Did you watch that interview of that Instagram account you told me to follow?
Awesome.
And he was going into how he was he was already
method acting
at age five. And he's like, well, I would just study this person and how they would act in this situation. And then I just copy. And it's like, dude, you're five. What? How are you already this good at it? And
yeah, that's right. I forgot about Star. I forgot about that reel that I shared with you. And it was like all different actors when they were kids. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was the most interesting by far. Like all of them were like, just kind of happy to be acting. And he was like, yes, I just look at him and I'm trying to do a British accent that I can't do.
No, it was fantastic, Frank. Please keep going. That was so good.
I think even, I forget what actor it was. I think it was, it was Ben Affleck. And I was watching these YouTube things.
He's back with J-Lo, by the way.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, weird. Wow. Ben Affleck was like, I didn't even know Christian Bale was British because he changes so much in all his roles. And he's like, and then I met him and he has his British accent and I was surprised by it. I'm like, what? How do you not know that? But I guess it's true. Like every role is so different. But all right, Michael, let's leave it there because I think we've been rambling on for a while now.
Yeah, I got Nacho grabbing at my leg here looking for some lunch. So I'm going to join her. I don't know what I'm going to make yet, but have a little lunch. Frankie, hit him straight out there today, kid. Have some fun. Enjoy it. Roll some putts. Take some pictures and just appreciate the day.
I will do. And Mike, you the same. Have a great rest of your day. Tell Nachi I said what up.
What up, Nachi? From Frank.
We'll talk to you next time. Later, Mike.
Peace, brother.